Hello, beautiful people. I am excited to be sitting down and recording today. We're going to be talking about something that I am so passionate about. And I decided that this week we wouldn't do something super deep, something just light and fun and easy to chat about. I am in a wonderful mood. I was so productive today and I love feeling productive. I feel like we all kind of do, and it makes me wonder, like, to what extent that's healthy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just honestly almost like idolize productivity and the feeling of getting stuff done, and I feel like that's like so hustle culture. It's so American dream, like, get the work done, like, stay busy, busy, busy. And we're going to be talking about the American dream in an episode soon. I actually posted a ton of ideas that I had for podcast episodes, and I got a ton of responses from you guys. So thank you for being so responsive and helpful with helping me navigate which podcasts that you want to hear, because I want to talk about things that you guys want to hear. Obviously, I also share stuff that's just on my heart, on my mind, just randomly as they come up, but it's exciting to hear such encouraging feedback from you guys, so thank you for being so responsive on that. But today we're going to be talking about books, one of my favorite subjects of all time. Lesser known fact, actually, I don't even know if I've talked about this before, but lesser known fact, my mom is actually a reading teacher, and so I grew up with a mom that was a reading teacher and would assign me books to read, or just honestly a number of books that I was required to read outside of like school reading, like required reading for my classes. Remember, like in elementary school and in middle school, honestly, maybe even in high school at my school, we had to do like summer reading, like required from school. Yeah, my mom like made us read on top of that. Like, she would be like, okay, you're reading like 5 or 6 books this summer, and so I would have to do that. But she instilled in me a respect and a love for reading, so we're going to be talking about that today, and I am so excited to share about some of the books that I think that you should read and why. These are just obviously my opinions, my preferences, books that I have loved and books that have impacted me. I know not everybody has the same reading taste, and I feel like that kind of goes without say, but just wanted to add that in, that like if you hate these books, that's okay. I love them, and so this is pretty opinion based. But before we get into the books that I think you should read and why, I'm gonna give you guys a little bit of a life update. So life has been wonderful, life has been good. I have been so like challenged. I talked about this in last week's episode. Like, I just feel like I'm continually getting challenged in my faith, which is so exciting. Last night I went to Circuit Riders and I heard they're going through like the fruits of the spirit. And we talked about gentleness, and kind of, I think I'm kind of realizing that my view of God is so, like, in the past has been so different to how I'm starting to view him now. And my theology has just been challenged, like I said, and it's just interesting because when talking about the gentleness of God, I don't think I realized that like my view of God was in contrast with this fruit of the spirit that the Lord has and wants us to have, because he has it as image bearers. And I feel like I used to think that God was this person that like I had to earn his love, and I had to wake up and pray every day, or wake up and read my Bible and like do all these things in order to earn his love. And then I've just been challenged, and especially in hearing this sermon, that like he is gentle and he is like kind, and like these are qualities that he wants us to have as well. And I feel like for a really long time I didn't see him as gentle and kind. I saw him kind of as this big booming voice from heaven that just wanted me to like wanted to punish me all the time and wanted me to be wrong all the time. And maybe even if he didn't like want me to be in the wrong all the time, he just like was expecting me to fail over and over again. And so that's been exciting to kind of like shift my perspective and have a right view of who God is. And that's been really cool and exciting. Huge things. It's a huge thing to start to understand correctly like who God is. So that's been really exciting. Halloween is, I guess, next Tuesday, but I feel like everybody kind of celebrates it over the weekend, and I'm so excited. I have plans for Halloween. I'm going to a little Halloween party, and I have a really awesome costume. It's really not that hard to guess, but I'm excited, and I will definitely post on Instagram. Very excited about that content and just dressing up as this person, because like, I love this person. Anyways, also, I kind of sound like I have a cold, and that's because I have a cold, so just, yeah, if I sound congested, it's because I am. I have such a weak immune system, guys, and my friends make fun of me because I'm so dramatic as well, so it's just, like, I'm that much more dramatic when I'm sick, and everyone around me knows it. I can't shut my mouth about it, so that's the current situation that I'm in. I also recently went to LA. We did a little day trip with me and some of my friends, and we went to, actually, I think it's like LA County Museum of Art, LACMA or something, and they actually, this is so cool, but they have these, like, free jazz nights every Friday night. I think it's from, like, 6:30 to 8:30, and so people will go and, like, bring food, bring drinks, and, like, sit out on the grass, or, like, if you get there early enough, you can sit in all the chairs that are set out, but, like, this jazz band will play, and it's so sick. And so me and my friends went. That was really special. We also visited one of my friends at his, like, this store that he works at. We just did a whole little, like, LA afternoon, so that was fun. It's been interesting too, because I feel like in my head, like, in your head you grow up, especially if you're, like, were born in the US, like, you see all of this content of, like, LA, New York, and, like, I've spent a lot of time in New York, in the city, and out of the city, but, like, LA is, like, a city that I wasn't as familiar with. Actually, not familiar with at all. I'd never been there up until I moved here. And I, like, don't think I'm an LA girl, but I also don't think I've had enough experience there to fully say that. But, like, as of right now, like, I love Orange County. I just love Orange County, guys. It's so sweet and special, and it's cool because there's so many small businesses. And I know that's also the case in LA. Like, they have that there as well. But, like, LA is just really crowded and, like, dirty and feels a little, like, I don't know. It's interesting. I've noticed spiritually that, in my perspective, LA feels a little dark, spiritually, and Orange County, as soon as I get back to Orange County, I feel a little bit brighter, and it feels like there's a lot of light here. And maybe that's just a spiritual discernment that I have, but, yeah, there's a lot of churches, a lot of, like, Jesus followers in Orange County. I know there's also a lot of Christians in LA as well, but it's just interesting. Like, whenever I go into the city, I'm like, whoa, the spirit is really dark here. But yeah, had a great time going to that jazz night. I look forward to broadening my perspective of LA, but it was really fun. I'm really also excited because I have some, like, travel plans coming up. One of my best friends from high school is getting married, my friend E, which is, we call her E, her name's Elizabeth. If you've been following me for a while, then you are very familiar with E, but, so that's crazy, that's bonkers. I feel like I'm now at the age where, like, a lot of my friends are getting engaged or are already engaged or are married, and it is crazy, really exciting. So I'm going to be going to her wedding pretty soon, which is really, really exciting. And I am also going to be going to Idaho to visit family for Thanksgiving, which is super exciting because I have not been to Idaho in a few years. My mom's twin lives out there with her family, so I'm excited to see my cousins and my aunt and my uncle and everyone. So that'll be really special because I'm closer to it would be closer for me to go visit them than to go home. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm enjoying life. I have the joy of the Lord, and I just feel very encouraged these days. And with that, I feel like one thing that I've been thinking a lot about recently is that I'm in an environment that's not predominantly Christian, and, like, I think the best way that I can share my faith is by just being different than the world. And so that's been something that I've been really convicted about, is, like, am I talking differently than the world? Like, am I not, like, cursing, not cussing? Am I speaking lightly? Am I, like, turning away from gossip, or am I encouraging gossip? Like, different little changes that I can make in my life that promote light, promote the Lord, so that people see me and witness me and they're like, what is that about her? Like, what is that joy? Like, where does that come from? And I know in Christian contexts, we talk a lot about, like steward your light and, like, be a light and, like, be different than the world. But, like, the practical little things to change in our lives, I think, like, it makes this a lot more easy than just, like, some broad statement of, like, be the light, be different than the world, you know, like, I want to start implementing, like, little changes, big changes, all sorts of changes in my life to where people see me and interact with me and they're like, okay, she's so different. Like, what is this in her that I don't have? Like, where does that joy come from? Where does that light come from? Where does that optimism come from? But yeah, anyways, that's my little life update. And yeah, without further ado, let's talk about some books. I'm so excited. So first, before I start to share some of these books, I wanted to emphasize, this is my preference with books, because I know we all have different preferences, and this is mine, okay? My preference is usually something that is a little bit more character-focused than plot-focused, and let me explain that. It seems self-explanatory, and it kind of is, but I like books that kind of expound upon, like, character development, becoming a better person, learning something. None of these books that I'm going to be sharing today are, like, particularly spiritual, but I feel like a good book for me is a book that makes me think about my relationship with the Lord, if that makes sense. Like, makes me want to be a better person, like, makes me want to grow and learn and appreciate the things that I've been through, whether that's, like, trials and tribulations or, like, things that I've experienced in my life, and kind of appreciating life. I just like books that kind of leave me with a positive outlook on life, challenge me, encourage me. And those are usually books that I've found that those are usually books that are more like character focused and like the development of characters than plot focused. Like, oh, this person is, I don't know. Cause I mean, they all do have a plot, but I just appreciate like learning about people and like what they've gone through and how they've changed through it, rather than like some big description of this event that's happening in a character's life, if that makes any sense. And I also really like a good cry. I love something that's sappy. I love super like big descriptions of emotions. I mean, I feel like it's pretty like obvious. Like, I'm a Taylor Swift fan. Words are very important to me. I like books that choose their words, or I should say authors that choose their words wisely and are very like specific. And I know a good book when it helps expand my vocabulary. Actually, one of my friends, Kylie, like 6 months ago, I think, was like, Maddie, I can always tell when you're reading more when you are really well spoken. Like, I can tell that you've been reading more by the words that you're using, and not that you're sounding like pretentious or anything, but you have a better vocabulary when you've been reading more and reading consistently. So that's important to me. Like, I want to be productive in my reading. Like, I want my reading to, like I said, make me a better person, but also teach me something. I love to learn something. So whether it's about other cultures, other people's experiences, I love historical fiction. That's one thing I've always really been into. And so a lot of these books I will explain are a little bit historical fiction, or a lot of it historical fiction, but books that teach me something about like a point in history or like a people group or whatever. That's something that I really value when choosing a good book and judging whether a book is good or worth your read, worth a recommendation to others. So yeah, that's some context on me as a reader. Now let's get into the books. First, I wanted to talk about one of my favorite authors, because she has a lot of books that I like, and her name is Taylor Jenkins Reid. She is not underground. I feel like she's super popular because she's had a lot of like really, really popular books. She actually wrote The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. That's actually not on my list. I liked that book, but it wasn't my favorite of her books. But the books that I wrote down, number one, this is probably my second favorite, or I don't know if it's my most favorite or second favorite. It's one of my favorite books that I've read this year. It's Malibu Rising. I love this book. Okay, at first, if you were to explain the plot of this book to me, I feel like I wouldn't have picked it up, but it all takes place over like one night. It's like one party. And what I love about Taylor Jenkins Reid is a lot of the characters in her books like intertwine. And so this isn't spoiling anything, but one of Evelyn Hugo's husbands in The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, I believe, is Mick Riva. And so Mick Riva's kids are the main characters in Malibu Rising. And this book is based in Malibu. And it's about this like famous family with like all these different siblings and like their lives and how they intertwine and all this drama that happens on this one night at this one party. And it's cool. I think it's based in like the 60s. I think it's the 50s or the 60s. And so that was super cool, like learning about like how Malibu kind of like became, I could be so wrong about this time period, but it's really cool because Taylor Jenkins Reid, I would consider her like kind of a historical fiction author because all of her books take place in a different time period. I might be completely messing up this time period for this book, but it's cool because it talks a lot about like the popularization of Malibu and how it became this like place that people would go to, and like the PCH. And that's also so cool because I just moved to California. And when I was reading that for the first time, like I never would have guessed that I would be driving on the PCH like a year later, which is so crazy. That's just me over sentimentalizing everything. But yeah, loved that book. Really good. I love the character development. And also one of the characters, she is named Carrie Soto. And then Taylor Jenkins Reid wrote another book called Carrie Soto is Back. And that's also on my list. That's number two. And this is in no particular order also, but Carrie Soto is Back is another Taylor Jenkins Reid book. And so it's funny because that was a character in Malibu Rising, but this book is about a tennis pro's comeback. And I think it's based in the 80s or the 90s. It's just so cool. Like, she just, like, researches up on a time period and, like, wrote a whole book about, like, a woman's comeback in her tennis career. And I, like, ate it up. And I have no interest nor understanding of sports whatsoever, let alone tennis. And I loved this book. Another book, this one's super popular. Malibu Rising is also super popular. But Daisy Jones and the Six, I would be remiss if I did not mention this book. I loved this book. I know not everyone likes it. I feel like it's pretty like polarizing. Like you either love this book or you don't like it. But it's really cool because it's like written in the form of an interview. And so every single chapter is like a soundbite interview with somebody interviewing this band from the 70s. I think it's the 70s. Yeah, it's the 70s because it's kind of loosely based on Fleetwood Mac. At least that's what people say. But what's so cool about this book is they actually made a TV show, like Daisy Jones and the Six, a TV show, and it was like a 10 episode series, I believe, and it was freaking amazing. And it's so cool because like in the book they have like songs that this band writes, and they literally made and produced all of the music, and it's out on Apple Music, like it's on Spotify, it's on all these streaming platforms, so you can literally listen to the music that was created based on this book. And I just like, that's like, that is probably my wildest dreams come true. Like a book that turns into a TV show that now has an album. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I could talk about this for hours. I won't because I know that's not interesting content, but I'm obsessed. The show was amazing. I know also a lot of people didn't like the show. I loved it. That's like, I mean, I'm obsessed with it. That's one of my like hyperfixations. I like sat and watched that show in my room like 6 months ago, eating my hummus in my room, when I was very seasonally depressed, and it was definitely a light in my winter last winter, and that was fantastic. I freaking loved Daisy Jones and the Six, the book, amazing. I cried, and the show amazing, the music amazing. I still actively stream all of those albums. Like, I'm like Daisy Jones and the Six's number one fan. There was like rumors that they were gonna go on actual tour, which I would have died. I would have spent so much money on tickets if they ever like actually do go on tour. Yeah, but I'm a super fan girl in that sense. I'm obsessed with that. Taylor Jenkins Reid just has a way of like creating universes and intertwining them, and just like she's so like well researched on her topics of each time period, and I just really respect it. I feel like she is one of the authors that got me into historical fiction. It was like a good like dipping my toe in the water. And then another book that she wrote that like absolutely destroyed me, and I actually watched the movie, and the movie was like so bad. So not all book to movie adaptations are good. I feel like I was expecting, since Daisy Jones and the Six was so good, that One True Loves would be a good movie adaptation, and it was buns. I did not like it at all. But the book I really liked. It was definitely a little bit cheesy, but a little cheese never hurt nobody. I really liked this book. It was a really cool concept. Basically, you can read this on the back of the book, but the whole premise is that this girl gets married to this guy, and they have this like whirlwind relationship, and he passes away. Like, he goes missing, essentially, and he was presumed dead, and they like are like travel journalists or something like that. Like, they both travel for work, and they live this like really adventurous lifestyle, and then he's missing. Like, his plane goes down, and then he's presumed dead, and then she gets remarried, and then he comes up out of the blue, like the other, her like presumed dead husband, and he ends up being alive. And so she's trying to figure out what to do with these two men that she's kind of, well, yeah, she's two men that she's married to, essentially. And, like, years had passed, and she finally, like, mourned and grieved and healed, and then he comes back. So, and he's not dead, obviously, which is crazy. But, yeah, that's a wonderful book. I sobbed. It was so good. Taylor Jenkins Reid is just the best writer, guys. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so those are my favorite TJR books. I literally, guys, if you, like, follow or look on Taylor Jenkins Reid's Instagram, I'm, like, a mega fangirl. Like, I will be commenting on all of her posts. Like, I respond to her stories, like, thinking that she'll see my response. Like, I'm, like, unwell. Okay, next book, Midnight Library. Freaking loved this book. I read this when I was living in the Hamptons, and I remember reading this book on the beach and just, like, sitting there and crying. It's just a really beautiful book about, like, the beauty of life and, like, how life is worth living. And I feel like this book I want to give as a gift to people in my life. Like, I just want to buy several copies of it and just give it as a gift because it felt like such a gift to read. Like, it's just such an amazing book. And I don't really want to, like, explain the plot because I feel like it will spoil it. Actually, no. I'm going to explain the plot. There's this girl and she's really struggling with just thinking that her life is worth living, and then somehow she ends up, I'm not gonna spoil it, but she ends up in this library and gets to live all of the, like, opens these books of all these lives that she could have lived, and it's like she's trying to choose which life she wants to live. It's an amazing book. I'm obsessed with this book. I honestly should reread it. I have my copy of it, and it has, like, all of these highlighted parts and all of these notes, and it's just a great book. Next, this is an Evelyn Hugo-esque book. It's called City of Girls. My friend Claire actually recommended it to me. It's not my favorite book that I've ever read, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I feel like if you like reading about, like, glitz and glam and, like, I think it's based in the 50s, I think. 50s or the 60s. And it's just a really cool book. Again, really character focused, super verbose. I find that, like, a lot of the character focused books that I read end up being, like, super wordy and have, like, two pages of the descriptions of a color of a dress or something ridiculous like that. But this book was so glamorous and meaningful, and I felt very known whenever Claire recommended this book to me because I was like, yep, this is it. This is the type of book that I reach for. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, next, I have The Hotel Nantucket. This was my first Ellen Hildebrand book, and it started my fascination, obsession with Ellen Hildebrand and all of her books. I love her. I believe that this is her best book out of all the ones that I've read. Actually, I don't think I've read that many, but this is my favorite. The Hotel Nantucket is so good. If I even explain to you the plot, you're going to be like, what? This doesn't sound good. It's basically a book about a hotel. And actually, like, there's a ghost in the hotel, and you kind of hear from the ghost, and it's just, like, it's a really good book. Just trust me. It's a really good book. It's just really sweet, really character-focused. You learn about how all of their lives intertwined. Like, I love a book that goes from multiple different perspectives, and so I ate this up. Just so enjoyable. Like, it's one of those books that just kind of felt like you're just, like, sitting at the beach enjoying life. Like, it just was so enjoyable. And I want to reread it, honestly, because it brings me back to sitting by my college apartment's pool when I wasn't having, like, classes yet, and I got to college, and I was just, like, hanging out with my friends. Like, oh, that was such a sweet time of life before my senior year started. And then next, I have The Nature of Fragile Things. Okay, this, another book that I don't, like, the descriptions of all these books sound so ridiculous, but you guys just have to trust me. The Nature of Fragile Things, I actually got this book from listening to the Redheads Book Club, which is my favorite podcast, is called The Toast. And you guys know I talk about, I feel like I actually don't know if I've ever talked about it on my podcast, but it's, like, a core personality trait. I have listened to this podcast. It's these two sisters, but I've listened to it since, like, high school. The beginning, like, literally sophomore year of high school. And so one of the sisters has another podcast that's a book club. I highly, highly, highly recommend. And it is called The Redheads Book Club is the podcast. I'm going to try to link it actually in this description. It's just a really good, like, podcast to listen to. And, like, you can follow along and read the books because they, like, announce every month. And it's just a monthly podcast. And they announce every month, like, what book they're reading. And so they had this as, like, a really highly rated book that they read. And so I read The Nature of Fragile Things. And it's about an earthquake that happened in California, in San Francisco, I believe in the 40s or 50s. And it's about this immigrant girl. She immigrated from Ireland. And she first moved to New York and then moved to California. And it's so really, it's very hard to explain, but basically she experiences this earthquake and it's about how her life changes and all the relationships in her life change. And it's just a really great book. I highly, highly recommend. I just really enjoyed it. It was just a great story. Honestly, I feel like my barometer for like if a book is good is if I would like be assigned it in high school or middle school and I would like act like I didn't like it, but I would secretly be reading ahead, like at home, like under my covers with my flashlight, and my teacher would say that we weren't allowed to read ahead, but I would read ahead. I don't know if that's a relatable experience or if I'm just like so weird and strange and not normal, but yeah, so I loved this book. Okay, next. This was the first book that I've ever read by Kristen Hannah, and now she's one of my favorite authors. It's The Nightingale. This is a super famous book, so I am saying this, and I am sure a lot of you have read it. It's an amazing book. It is actually about occupied France during World War II, and like these two sisters and their experiences. And I'm not going to spoil it because I feel like if I said anything else, it would definitely be spoiling it. But I love books about World War II. I feel like I have just by happenstance read a lot of books about World War II, and I always find it so interesting. And so I loved this book. This is a 5-star book. It's an amazing book. I think everyone should read it. It's just a fascinating story. And then next, this book, I don't really even know how to explain. It's called The Paper Palace. And I actually stumbled upon this book because it is a Reese's like book club book, like Reese Witherspoon. It's in her book club. And I have come to really respect Reese Witherspoon's like book opinions. And I think that's because a lot of the shows that I've watched have been like adaptations of books that have been in Reese's book club. So I think about like Little Fires Everywhere. I'm trying to think of other shows that I've watched that have been like Reese's like production company. But I was just like, okay, I really liked this show. So random, but I really liked Little Fires Everywhere, so I was like, okay, I trust my girl Reese, let me read The Paper Palace. And I also, in my head, I was like, why does this, like, the cover gives me very much so, like, Where the Crawdads Sing, which is another Reese's book club book, I believe, and I loved that book, and so I was like, okay, I'm gonna give this one a shot. It's another book that's, like, centered around, like, one singular day, but it gives context throughout the book. And so, similar to Malibu Rising, it's, like, one day, but, like, you get all the context over years. I would say that, definitely, like, I'm giving a trigger warning with this book because there's lots of themes of, like, abuse and just trauma and lots of different things that are hard to read, absolutely very hard to read, but I found it to be a really meaningful book, and I just really liked all of the character development throughout this book, and it took me a while to read just because it's really dense. It was a really big book, but I really enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was a great book, and I liked the story. I sound like that one, I sound like that one clip right now where it's like, I like the beat, but yeah, so loved this book, wonderful, great, 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 great book. Next, oh my gosh, this is one of my favorite books of the year, it's called The Dinner List. Oh my gosh, guys, I don't hear enough people talking about this book. I don't know how I stumbled upon it, but it's such an amazing book, and it basically centers around the premise of these friends that, like, ask each other, or, like, one of the friends asks the one friend, like, okay, if you could have dinner with, like, I think it's, like, 12 people dead or alive, like, who would you invite? And then one day she gets invited to this dinner and she goes and all of those people are there. And so it's just crazy. And she's like, for example, like Audrey Hepburn is there. Like Albert Einstein, I think, is there. Like so many like random historical figures, but also like her ex-boyfriend is there. And like they had like a really long and tumultuous relationship. Guys, when I'm telling you, like I like sobbed reading this book. I like I need to reread it because I was just so unwell and I was highlighting away. Like, I was reading this on my Kindle and I think the whole book is highlighted just because I love a quote that's going to make me think. And I don't know, it reminds me kind of One True Love's, and the fact that, like, it just made me sob in such a good way. And I learned so much about myself and, like, how I pursue relationships. And, like, it just really resonated with me. I just love this book. Fantastic. I would recommend this book to anyone. Next, oh my gosh, I talk about this book. I reference this book all the time. It's another Kristen Hanna book. So she wrote The Nightingale. And this book is called The Great Alone. So it is about this family in the 70s that packs up and moves to Alaska. And they try to start a life there. The dad just got back from the Vietnam War, and it's just about this really tumultuous relationship between, like, all of these family members. Again, I would issue another trigger warning. It's definitely has a lot of themes of abuse and neglect, and it's a really intense book, but this book stuck with me. I think about this book all of the time. I loved this book. I think Kristen Hanna just, like, weaves books in such a magical way, and, like, even when you're reading a story that's, like, wrought with a lot of, like, hardships, and it has, like, an undertone of, like, almost like a grim undertone, like, I just always feel that I leave the book being like, oh, I loved that book, even though it has, like, a lot of sadness in it. I love this book. I really, like I said, I talk about it all the time. I think about it all the time. And I would never think that like, if you gave me the synopsis of this book about this family that moves to Alaska in the 70s, I would probably be like, okay, cool, like, I don't get it. But trust me on this one, this book is so fantastic. It's so well written. Kristen Hanna is a fabulous writer, and I just love this book. Next, we have The Measure. This is a really cool book. It's almost like dystopian in a sense, except for the world isn't really ending. But it's about, like, this modern day, like, it's based in modern day, so it's like, let's say it's like 2023, and these people wake up and everyone has a little box at their door with a string in it, and people start to figure out that the string actually correlates to the length of your life. And so it's a really interesting, like, what would you do, like, kind of, like, I don't even know, it's like almost like philosophical, like, it brings up a lot of questions. It makes you think about, like, what you would do in that situation. And, like, for me, I would, like, there's people in the book that, like, don't open their box. They never know the length of their life. And it's just all about all these characters that intertwine in each other's lives and, like, what the string, like, the string's impact on their lives. And it's just a really amazing book. Another book, actually, that I found out about through the Redheads Book Club. So shout out Redheads Book Club, for real. But I loved this book. I know a lot of people that didn't like this book, and I think that's just makes sense. Like, if you're not into, like, character-focused books, like, there's not really a whole lot. Like, the main climax comes at the very beginning of the book, I found, like, because it's like, okay, the strings happen, now what? And it's just, like, the fallout from that situation is the rest of the book and, like, how it impacts people. And so if you're not into character-focused books, don't read this book. But I loved this book. I found it so interesting and made me think. I read this book when I was on the cruise for spring break. I went on a cruise with a bunch of my friends for spring break, and this book was such a joy. Like, I loved reading it. I love a hypothetical situation and talking about all the different angles in it. And it's cool because, like, some of the characters are in this, like, support group together. And so you kind of get to hear, like, their experiences and, like, how they feel about the strings, and it's just really cool. I loved this book. I thought it was super interesting. I think it's worth a read. Next, oh my gosh, guys, I could talk about this book forever because I really resonated. This is probably the first book in a really long time that I just really resonated with the main character. And this is another, like, pretty well-known book, but it's The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. I loved this book. I am obsessed with this book. It was so, 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 so long, but I feel like I flew through it. I feel like I read it in, like, 2 weeks because I couldn't put it down. And my roommate Maddie had been telling me to read it for so long, but when she explained the premise to me, I was like, I already read a book like that. I read The Measure, or not The Measure, I read The Midnight Library. I kind of thought it sounded like The Midnight Library, but the premise of this book is basically that this girl, like, she can't be remembered, and so she's living through her life, and, like, nobody remembers her. So she walks into a room, and walks out of the room, and then she walks back into the room, and nobody has any memory of her. And you find out why in the book, like, why that is. It happens at the beginning, but it's just an amazing, amazing, amazing book. It's definitely more, like, sci-fi vibes, but not too much so. Like, I'm not a really big fantasy girl. At least I haven't been, like... Actually, I feel like I haven't really read any fantasy, so I can't really say that. I've read a lot of, like, dystopian books, like, in my childhood. Like, you know, like, typical, like, Hunger Games, Divergent, you know the drill, like, Harry Potter. But this is more, like, definitely a little bit more fantasy. You have to kind of suspend reality to believe a lot of this stuff. But it was fantastic. I ate this book up. I would recommend it to everyone. It was fantastic. And then, last but not least, oh my gosh, guys, like, I sobbed my eyes out, and I'd seen a lot of people talk about this book. This is another Redhead's book, actually, but I feel like everyone was talking about this book a few months ago, and it's Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton. And what I find so cool about this book is that this book wasn't written by a famous person. It was just written by this random girl in the UK, and then I guess she's an author as well. Like, I think she, like, writes books as well, but it's a memoir. So it's about her life, but she's not, like, necessarily famous. And so I think that's what really, like, caught my attention, where I was like, okay, that's so interesting. Like, everyone's talking about this book. I'm just going to read it. And oh my gosh, like, I think there's so many moments where I was like, oh my gosh, I so relate to Dolly. And so many other moments where I was like, I don't relate to Dolly at all. Like, I've never had this experience. But I just think it's a worth read if you're a woman in her 20s. It talks a lot about, like, female friendships and, like, the value in that. And, like, I don't think Dolly is married. Like, it talks about a lot of her friends getting married and, like, just, like, that experience of, like, feeling like everyone else is, like, moving on to another stage of life and you're not ready for that. You don't desire that. Like, but a part of you does, but not, you know, it's not right for you then. And, like, I just really found that so relatable, and I loved this book, dude. I read this book, I think, like, over the summer when I was, like, visiting California, before I moved here, and I loved this book, guys. I can't even tell you enough, like, how amazing this book was. Definitely don't read it unless you're, like, in your 20s, because I don't know how relatable it would be. Maybe it would be relatable, but I feel like I really related to it because I've been through college, now I'm in post-grad, and, like, I loved it. I loved her commentary on, like, aging and, like, especially as a female, like, what the concept of aging, like, means to us and how we feel like we're running out of time. Like, honestly, like, how the concept of beauty intertwines with aging and, like, the way that I hate to, like, group, like, I don't know, I hate to say, like, society, like, does this, but, like, it really is such a societal, like, cultural thing to kind of cast aside women, like, once they've reached a certain age, and, like, what that does for your mental health. And, like, I just love this book. I could talk about it forever, but those are my books. Those are all the ones that I wrote down for you guys. These are all of my recommendations. And notice that I didn't list a single Colleen Hoover or Emily Henry book. That's because I'm not into Emily Henry books, guys. I know that's, like, such a hot take. I know so many people love Emily Henry books. I've read People We Meet on Vacation. I've read that other book. Gosh, I can't remember. Happy Place. I read both of those books. I didn't really like either of them. Like, that's just my truth. And I think Colleen Hoover, like, she definitely, like, I think she's a good, like, gateway drug to reading, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like Colleen has gotten so many people back into reading, and I love that. I just don't really like, the content of, like, I don't know, her books are just so, like, explicit and, like, just so, like, raunchy, and, like, I don't like that. I don't need to be reading stuff like that. But, yeah, I think, like, some of her books are really, really, like, what's the word? I want to say catchy. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of her books are really, like, the plot is just, like, so interesting, and I've read a lot of her books, but I don't think I'd necessarily recommend them to anyone, and I haven't read her in a really long time because I was like, okay, yeah, the content, if I'm having to skip over half of the book because the content is so, like, gross, like, why am I reading it, you know? Because that's what I would do, is I'm just like, ew, skip, skip, skip. But yeah, anyways, and I, no hate, but just not my jam. So these are my recommendations. Again, several trigger warnings, but definitely take up on my recommendations, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Like, if you read any of these books, let me know. Make sure to subscribe, make sure to leave me a review, guys. I don't ask you guys to do that very often, but I would love if we could write some reviews or give me a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to this podcast. because I want to keep podcasting and I want more people to be able to hear this. I feel like it's a really cool platform that the Lord has given me and I want to utilize it well, and I can't do that without a little bit of help, so I would really appreciate that. But I love you guys. Have an amazing rest of your week. You are loved, you are honored, you are treasured. I really appreciate you guys for listening, but have a great rest of your week. We'll talk next week. Bye.